The Power of Henkel.
On this episode of The Power of Henkel, we welcome a new guest and relatively new Henkel team member to the podcast. Peter Jones joins us today to discuss thermal control considerations for thick gap applications. He's a senior applications engineer, and Peter earned his degree in material science and engineering and has several years of application and equipment engineering experience. So we are grateful to have such insight. Peter, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Hey, Laura. Thank you.
In the past on these podcasts, we've discussed several thermal interface material considerations, from chemistry platforms like when to choose a silicone or silicone-free material, to specific applications such as electric motors, as well as considerations for thin bondline thermal material. So today we're going to stick with the bondline topic, and we're going to move to the other end of the spectrum and talk about thick gap applications. So I guess the most logical place to start is when we talk about the gap or the space between the component and the heat sink. And if we define those as thick, what do you consider thick? I mean, can you clarify a range that falls into thick gaps, Peter?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I would probably make that cutoff as about a half a millimeter. This is, you know, typically kind of the lower end of some of those thick gap offerings, such as a gap pad or gap filler that we would be able to get down to. You know, part geometry, tolerances, roughness of the substrate will further play a role as to the best product for the job. But let's, you know, start with about a half a millimeter to maybe up to 2.5 millimeters as our kind of range we're talking about in terms of gaps we need to fill.
Okay, that's a good frame of reference. So thanks for that explanation. With that dimensional understanding in mind, let's talk about what the options are for thermal interface materials, or TIMs as we often refer to them. The goal, obviously, is to fill the gap with a thermally conductive material that helps to efficiently and thoroughly, which is very important, move the heat from the heat-generating component to a heat sink or a heat spreader. And there are, if we're speaking broadly, really two TIM mediums to fill these gaps. One are pad-based materials, and the other is liquids.
Yeah, that's correct, Laura. So gap pads are, as the name implies, a soft, conforming pad-based material that's pre-cured. Often these materials have either a liner providing stability or special properties, such as electrical isolation, in between a thermally conductive polymer matrix. As mentioned before, the thinnest gap that these products can typically fill is about a half a millimeter. The other option in this space is liquid gap fillers. We have multiple options here. We have either a one part or 1K pre-cured liquids that we classify as gels, and two part or 2K uncured materials. There are several products in this space that can range in terms of thermal conductivities and different chemistries as well.
Okay, so just thinking about sort of gap pads, not solid, but a relatively solid material versus a liquid. I mean, one would think in general that a liquid is going to really fill those microscopic deviations better than a pad, because not all surfaces are flat. So first, I guess, is that statement true about liquids being a better filler generally and wetting out better? And second, if that's true, why wouldn't customers just use liquids as a rule?
Well, yeah, so a lot of loaded questions, a lot to unpack there. So let's get into it. Both gap pads and liquid gap fillers will have their pros and cons and have certain applications where they're required. For the first part of your question, yes, gap fillers will wet out a surface better than a pad. The lower viscosity and the fact that they are uncured or low cure in the case of gels can flow where a pad simply cannot. This means it can fill any microscopic voids, eliminating air pockets and thus improving your thermal performance. So then the second part, if you can theoretically just have better thermal performance with the liquid, why would you ever use a pad? And there's a number of reasons for that. First, and perhaps most importantly, is electrical isolation. The benefit of having a pre-cured pad can be the addition of that film in the middle, which can provide benefits of true electrical isolation that meets UL requirements. The same level cannot really be achieved with a liquid gap filler. So in some high voltage applications, a gap pad is really the only option.
Okay.
The second benefit of pads is the ability for them to be applied manually or pretty quickly and reliably. For applications where, you know, the number of parts made is manageable, maybe think like hundreds, not thousands, it might make more sense to use a pad instead of the upfront investment that's like required to reliably dispense liquid materials. Another consideration is that pads will typically have a longer shelf life since they are already cured. They're not going to go through separation like a liquid material might. Liquids can help simplify product management, though. One package size of liquids can be used to dispense and fill gaps of any size or shape. Whereas for a pad, you're going to need to have different part numbers for each thickness and then for each shape as well.
Okay. Yeah, definitely a lot to unpack, as you said, and a lot to think about. There's so many factors to consider. One of those, I've also had discussions with thermal experts about, in addition to all those things that you mentioned, that it's really not only about thermal conductivity, even though that's what a lot of people tend to think, like the higher the watt per meter Kelvin, the better. And that's a place where I think sometimes is the logical place to start. But there's so many factors, and certainly critical is thermal impedance, maybe just as critical as thermal conductivity, would you say?
Yeah, you're spot on, Laura. Thermal conductivity, or the lambda value, which is expressed as watt per meter Kelvin, is certainly important. And it can be a good quick gut check to narrow down a list of possible products, you know, from the TDS. But there's a multitude of other factors, and sometimes even higher thermal conductivity materials aren't as effective as lower thermal conductivity solutions because the thermal resistance is higher for these products. Mm-hmm. We're doing a study in our lab right now, in fact, comparing gap pads to liquid gap fillers. And so far, the results are quite interesting. Basically, the same thermal conductivity pad has lower thermal performance compared to a liquid product. And that liquid product can even produce better thermal performance than a gap pad of higher thermal conductivity, especially when you're working with surfaces that have a higher degree of roughness, just based on the fact that these liquid materials are wetting out the surfaces much better than a pad. And that wet out and that good surface contact is key to good thermal performance.
Also, we're back to the wetting comment from earlier. Interesting. So I don't want to change course, but there's another point on liquids in general, because you mentioned this previously. So it's a bit of a side note, but not really, is that there's two general categories. So there's two part uncured liquids, as you explained, and one part pre-cured gels. So what distinguishes these materials, and why might you choose one over the other?
Sure. Yeah, no, definitely worth clarifying this. Two-part liquid gap fillers are generally preferred in high reliability applications such as automotive, where harsh environments or vibration are the norm. This is due to, yet again, better wet out, right? So they're in an uncured state upon dispensing, so they flow much easier than pads or even gels. Gels, which are, you know, one part, will also provide excellent thermal conductivity and are more often used in applications where the device is generally stable, such as telecom infrastructure systems. Baseband and units for antennas, for example, these forces seen in these types of applications are low enough, and the degree of wet out is not as much of a concern and won't lead to premature failures. The benefits to gel, though, is there's no recuring step required, and they can simplify the manufacturing process.
Okay, excellent. Good to know. Lots of options to consider. I'm sure our listeners appreciate that clarification on the liquids, but also the broader discussion just on what your options are for thicker gaps in general. So we appreciate all your expertise today, Peter. I'll be interested to see the final results of that pad and liquid comparative study that you're working on. It sounds really intriguing.
Yeah, of course. We'll make sure to share it. And thanks, Laura, for the great discussion.
Awesome. So for all applications where a thicker gap or a unique architecture requires excellent heat dissipation, Henkel is your source. Learn more about the company's broad portfolio of gap pad, sill pad, liquid gap filler and thermal gel materials by visiting Henkel-Adhesives.com. Simply click on the products tab and then thermal management materials. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Power of Henkel.
The Power of Henkel.